Hey, Shepherd, welcome to Digital Worship this week. I'm Pastor John Corrales. It's great to be with you as we continue our journey toward Easter through this series, When Shadows Fall, Careful Steps with Jesus Toward the Cross. Today, we find ourselves on the special day of Palm Sunday, celebrating Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem as he is celebrated by the crowds that have been following him as he's been teaching and preaching and performing miracles. And yet, while those crowds are gathering and celebrating his entry into the holy city, there's other crowds and other conspirators who are preparing plans for Jesus to be eventually tried and mocked and beaten and even crucified. And so with all of that in mind, we'll be taking a look at a passage from John chapter 12 and understanding some perspective it gives to you and I that then we are challenged to embrace as we live out our daily lives in faith. So turn with me to John chapter 12 and let's look at the text for today. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet them. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy, but after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." So there's a couple of things about human nature, three things, in fact, that I draw out of this particular text. And this text speaks to each one of those things that then gives us this challenge in our faithful living. What does it mean that we're living this transformed life changed by Jesus' work, not only on the cross, but then the Spirit's constant work in our lives? I think that this particular text opens our eyes up to three ways that Jesus interacts with us. On the one hand, we are short-sighted. Secondly, we are rather selfish, self-serving. And thirdly, we are easily discouraged. So let me go back over those. We're short-sighted, we're self-centered, and we're easily discouraged. So you'll notice that line in this particular text where it says, his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, that is after Jesus had already ascended back to heaven, then their perspective was widened and broadened, and they were made aware. They remembered the fact that Jesus actually fulfilled some very specific promises made about the Messiah in the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets that God's people had been reciting to each other for thousands of years. Jesus was the fulfillment of some of those prophecies. But in their short-sightedness that we share with the disciples, they in the moment didn't realize what exactly was going on, the significance of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey's back. And yet, after some time had gone between that particular event and when Jesus had ascended into heaven, as they started to tell others about the great news of Jesus and the fact that his love could change other people's lives, they realized, oh, Jesus fulfilled some of those promises that we had grown up reciting to each other, that we remembered from our childhood. But in the moment, their perspective wasn't quite broad enough to realize and recognize how God was fulfilling the promises he had given his people through his son, through his servant, Jesus. Short-sightedness, but with patience and persistence, it's rewarded with perspective. Jesus' transformational work in our lives helps to answer our short-sightedness and gives us perspective into what God is doing. And that gives us encouragement, because if we're going through something right now that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, we can't quite see how it fits into God's plan for our lives, or we don't understand why this particular struggle or this particular event is happening, we can say, "You know what, God, I trust you. Help me to let go of this short-sightedness that I'm experiencing. Help me not to be stressed and anxious because I can't quite see what's going on, but instead, help me to trust you. Help me to patiently and persistently continue to turn back to you and say, you've got it in your great plan. And if you ever decide to show it to me, then I can trust that you've got it in your hands. It's not about me and knowing exactly what everything is and how it all fits together. Instead, I can just trust that God's great perspective overwhelms my own short-sightedness." Secondly, we get to be a little bit self-centered. So you'll notice these crowds knew what Jesus had done, and they started to follow after him. And the ones that witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, so just to remind you the story, Jesus' friend Lazarus, good friends, the brother of Mary and Martha, is died and been buried, and he's in a tomb. 4 days later, Jesus shows up in Bethany and calls him out of the tomb. He's brought back to life. It's this glorious picture of God's power, even over death itself. The people that witnessed that event told the people that they knew about Jesus and his power. And because the news about him spread, they wanted to get a piece of the action. They wanted to follow along with his story. They wanted to know what Jesus was up to. And so they had heard about this great event. They heard about his teachings. They heard about his other miracles. And they came to the city of Jerusalem when they heard that he was going to be there. You see, people tend to respond most actively, most enthusiastically to news they hear from someone they trust. Not something they see on TV, not something they find in a blog online, certainly not something they see in an advertisement. But if your good friend or your brother or sister or parent tells you something that they think you need to know, and you hear it and receive it and get enthusiastic and excited about it, there is no advertisement or TV program or online blog that could create the kind of emotional reaction that a relationship can do when we're telling someone we know about something we care about, a difference that's been made in our lives. When we give that testimony, the effectiveness of that particular communication cannot be overstated. That's the work that we need to be opened up to and challenged to when we consider this work of Jesus in our lives. As a self-centered person, my initial reaction to Jesus is, thanks, God. And then I kind of just go on my own way. But if I'm challenged by the Spirit, I need to recognize that God changes my life and invites me to engage others on that same fact. God's changed my life. Here's how he might be changing yours. God's met me in this place in life. Here's how he might be meeting you in yours. We are called into having these one-on-one, personal relationship, conversation-driven sharings of the testimonies of what God has done in our lives. So we've talked about short-sightedness. We've talked about self-centeredness. But let's talk about how we're also easily discouraged. You notice the end of this reading closes with the frustration of the opposition to Jesus. Now, I know it's a little bit strange to draw an example from the people that are the bad guys in the gospel text today, but we are like them in that we're human beings too, and we're easily discouraged. When we see that things are going the other way, well, as the conspirators in the reading from today said, there's nothing we can do. Look, the whole world's gone after him. There's nothing we can do. How often do we throw up our hands in frustration? There's nothing we can do. There's no difference we can make. There's no effort I can put in that's going to result in change. We, like those leaders of the religious people and institution at the time, are easily discouraged. But you'll notice that Jesus sticks with his plan, even in the midst of the discouragement that is soon to face him in the days ahead. Holy Week is this special, reverent time where we recognize the significance of the suffering and abuse that Jesus experienced, while also drawing great inspiration from his perseverance. Jesus was not discouraged by the fact that everything was going against him. Instead, understanding that it was in God the Father's hands, and recognizing that his call was not to serve himself or establish himself, but to serve his disciples, and through them serve the Jewish nation, and through that nation serve the world, he looked outward. And in the midst of the most negative, difficult, dark, suffering situations, he maintained his work. He maintained his road. He maintained his direction, fighting against the discouragement, embracing the will that God had for him. We're easily discouraged too. But when we look to Jesus' example, we recognize that there's an answer for our discouragement. It's the persistence. It's the intention. It is the commitment that Jesus has for us, displayed in this story, but still acting out in our lives, how the Spirit continues to walk with us, how God continues to work with us, despite the fact that so often we give up, so often we're self-centered, so often we don't understand his perspective. This little story from John chapter 12 answers us in our short-sightedness. It answers us in our self-centeredness. It challenges us to not be so easily discouraged and instead embrace the promises God gives us. Trust that he's got a better perspective, and then live outward-focused lives so that others might have an engagement and an interaction and relationship with Jesus like you and I have. This Holy Week, this season of Easter, take some time to set aside. Maybe go to a special church service if that's not a part of your regular tradition. Maybe take some time to read through the gospel books and really focus on those chapters that outline the story of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, and pray that God would open your eyes up to the many beautiful ways in which he continues to work redemption and restoration in the lives of his children today. I hope that God blesses you and encourages you this week. I pray that he would continue to keep you strong in the faith. And if there's anything we can do at Shepherd to support and encourage your walk of faith, to pray with you, to listen to you, just give us a call, shoot us an email. We'd love to engage with you. I hope that you have a great week, and we'll see you next time for Easter worship.